You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show. Presented by Anchor, the best way to start your podcast. Go to anchor.fm today and get started. So, hope that you guys are doing great. Tomorrow is a holiday for me, a federal holiday, observance of 4th of July, which is on Saturday. So happy Independence Day to everybody listening. Hope that your weekend with your family or your friends or whatever you are doing goes great. Only the best for y'all. So let's kind of get into some stuff here. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. You know, Cam Newton goes to the New England Patriots. We've got some drama starting to cook up with a couple of the league's biggest teams. Chris Jones, for example, just the other day suggested that he wouldn't play football without a long-term contract already in place. Of course, that wasn't it, though. You know, so every day there's been some stuff going on. And yesterday, the NFL announced that weeks 1 and 4 of the NFL preseason are getting cut. They've been talking about cutting the preseason down anyways. This has been something that they've been wanting to do for a while because, you know, 4 games. It's good for the coaches to estimate a lot of the deeper talent on the team, but the reality is that it puts a lot of star players at risk for injury unnecessarily, which is why you've been seeing a lot of the starters and stars and everybody else play way less snaps in the preseason than we used to. You know, a lot of times they skip games, so on and so forth. So this has been something that's been in the works anyways. Preseason was kind of designed to get the kinks worked out and assess the deeper, you know, talent on the roster, which are now, I think they can stay 90 deep pretty much through the entirety of the preseason. So there's a lot of guys that are vying to make the team and a lot of guys that are not going to make the team. And that's kind of what preseason was good for, was, you know, obviously to figure out who you wanted to keep around on the team, get more time to evaluate them against other teams on the field. And so this is almost a test run for the league to kind of see what they could, if it's a good idea to cut preseason games. And you don't really bring in any revenue from it. You're not going to sell the stadium out for a preseason game. You're not going to be able to do too much at a preseason game from a marketing standpoint because it doesn't really mean anything. Regardless, it's interesting to see the league finally get a chance to have an excuse to try this. They finally got their excuse. I think the NFL may stick with it, and if everything goes well, coaches are like, yeah, my team's more healthy going into the year, feel like we've got a good roster, blah blah blah, so on and so forth, yeah, they're probably going to move on with it. We'll have 2 preseason games every year, not 4. Regardless, it's going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out. The NFL was busy announcing things yesterday, by the way. They also announced that the supplement draft that generally happens about this time every year will not be taking place. And so what that was it was a chance for college players coming out if they basically, if they were deemed ineligible for whatever reason, couldn't play the college football season upcoming, and they wanted to enter the supplement draft, they could do so. and teams could select them now and forfeit a pick in the next draft. You know, so Josh Gordon, the wide receiver that's, you know, he's struggled to stay off of weed, but jumped around the league, started with the Browns, worked at the Patriots and the Seahawks, him. He was actually a supplement draft addition back in 2012, I believe, out of Baylor. It was deemed ineligible for the upcoming year and entered the supplement draft. You know, so just about every year they have it. They do have an option in the current CBA where they can waive that, and those players will just have to enter the draft in the upcoming year. And that's what they decided to do this year. They decided to exercise that supplement draft and get rid of it. And it's not too big of a deal. You're just not going to see picks get forfeited next year because there's, you know, no reason to. But really interesting, I think. I think that there was a lot of consideration with, you know, with players that were transferring, maybe as, you know, juniors, excuse me, or seniors. I think there was a lot of conversation about how many of them would end up entering the supplement draft. And as of now, it appears obviously that none of them will be. And so that kind of cuts a potential exit lane for some of these college players, you know, if they were trying to avoid this 2020 season. Which, by the way, an Illinois linebacker stepped up yesterday to talk about how unrealistic it is to play football during a pandemic. And saying, look, there's 100 of us guys literally on this team in one area. It's impossible to assume that we're going to be safe from the, we're going to be able to stay safe from the virus. He did go on to say that Illinois, the team does want to play football, but not at, you know, a threat to people's lives. So, I don't know how to say his name. Milo, I don't even know. Milo E is what I'm going to call him and refer to him as, because his last name does start with an E. Milo has a point. The only thing that I would say is how many athletes have been killed so far, professional leagues or college or amateur, from the coronavirus. Because I know the answer to this question. It's zero. Yeah, there's been probably about 130,000 deaths attributed to coronavirus. Maybe not as a direct result, but attributed. And none of them, not a single one has been an athlete. So I don't see the threat to lives, athletes' lives. I don't. I see the stats, which tell me that out of the several hundred thousand people between the ages of 18 and 25 that have gotten the virus, only 4 have died. So literally and I guarantee you all 4 of those people had underlying conditions and were already at risk. No one under the age of 18 has died. So clearly it's not a virus that preys on young people, on college people. Yeah, they're getting it. They're testing positive for it. But they're not. It's not killing them. And that's kind of the thing that it doesn't seem like anybody wants to talk about. Is, look, I'm not saying go play, you're being a dumb a dumbass by not playing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just merely pointing out the fact that all these people are talking about threat to lives and they don't want to die. And it, I don't want you to die either, but I'm looking at the stats going, and this is science, you know, this is factual because it's stats. It's stats based on science. And it's like, where's the threat to your life? I don't see it. Again, if you're not comfortable playing, that's fine. I doubt that 100 players on a football team feel the same way and feel that threatened about their lives. I do find it difficult to believe that an entire group, 100 people, think that way. Because you see how social media is split on this. That's just social media. That's like 3% of the world. If that. Point is, people are talking about threatening athletes' lives, threatening this, threatening that. Look, I understand if you want to talk about threatening coaches' lives, older coaches, people at risk. But we need to stay to the facts here and not get caught up in all this propaganda type fear mongering. And that this is literally killing everyone, because it's not. Yeah, it's killing people. Do we need a vaccine? Maybe. I mean, if it's one of these viruses that you get, you never get again, because that's as all studies and everything are showing. All right. There, I don't see the threat, personally. Anyways, we're going to take a break with that, and when we come back, get into a couple other things, maybe talk about a few players and such, kind of see where this thing rolls here on this Thursday. Next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. They got a really good setup, by the way. If you're not already on top of it, you need to get on it. If you're looking to start a podcast, they're going to distribute it for you. They're going to put it on a bunch of places. It's really easy. All you got to do is sign up, say hit yes, 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 please do all this, do that. Yep. Monetize it. No minimum listenership. And your podcast is underway. Great thing. Great thing. If you're not doing it already, you need to get on that. All right. So, I have been, yesterday was a little bit crazy because I was like working on, I think at one point, three different articles at the same time. There's a news report. There's a team preview. So I want to get a bunch of team previews out for, you know, potential NFL playoff teams, as well as just, that piece that I did on Trask yesterday, which I think I can elaborate a little bit more on. I think that the Cardinals, that's who I've started with, Arizona. I really do think that they have a really good chance to make a run. Best case scenario, 10-6 this year. That's absolute best case. I think Kyler Murray's going to have a big year. I really do. We'll see. But the kid is talented. And he's got elite athleticism for this league. Anyways. There was an article on DraftRight a couple days ago that was published about how Kyle Trask can be expected and is going to make a Joe Burrow type leap. And if I'm being honest, I disagree. I reached out to the author, Alex Barnett, and said, hey, here's why that's, I said, that's not going to happen. You want to know why? Yeah, okay, here's why. I think that what people don't understand about Joe Burrow is that the year before, you know, 2018, before the Heisman run and the championship and everything, when you watch Joe Burrow in that year, he was so fundamentally sound and he was consistent, and you just couldn't put your finger on why he wasn't a top quarterback in the league. You know, you were sitting there trying to figure it out, going, what's holding this guy back? Because that's kind of what it felt like when you watched him on tape, is that there was something holding him back. You couldn't put your finger on it. And I have a really good friend that played at Auburn back, you know, in the 90s. And we were talking after that Texas A&M, the 7 overtime game. And he said, look, John, he said, this guy, he's really good. And he says, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why he's not absolutely dominating, but he is really good. And he's going to be really good when he gets to the NFL. So I took time in August of 19, right before the season started. I went through about every game I could find on him. And I was sitting there going, this guy, he can do it all. You know, like, there's not that much that he cannot do. And I'm sitting here going, why isn't he better? Like, what's holding him back? In hindsight, 110% of his offense. Just didn't know it. LSU switches the offense. LSU takes off. He wins a Heisman, SEC championship, national championship, dominating season, arguably the most dominating season by a college offense. And a college quarterback, definitely. The college quarterback part, best season ever. 60 touchdown passes, just insane numbers. All right, so this is where things kind of start to get a little, you know, with Kyle Trask, is when you watch Kyle Trask, Trask is good. But you know exactly what's holding him back. He's raw. He has not played a tremendous number of snaps. He was a backup to De'Arik King in high school. They would play him. He got plenty of plays, don't worry. Don't get me wrong on that. But he was a backup quarterback. He was offered by 3D2 schools. I think Macon East State, Lamar, and Texas Baptist. Well, then Drew Neuenhauser found him. At the time, he was the Florida offensive coordinator. Invited him to a camp in Gainesville right before his senior year. After camp, Jim McElwain, who's the head coach at the time, calls Trask into his office and flat out right there offers him a scholarship. So Florida was the only Division I school to offer him coming out of high school. And obviously he took it. He wasn't really ever supposed to play. He got his chance when Felipe Franks goes down. That's the thing. He's played, over the last 7 years, he has played at tops 150 snaps. So he just lacks a lot of experience. You know, so he'll make boneheaded decisions because he just hasn't seen stuff yet. He's inconsistent with his throw and some of his, you know, fundamentals because he just hasn't done it that long yet. So the case with Burrow was you saw him doing everything right. It was the offense holding him back. The case of Trask is the offense is enabling him to perform better because that's what Dan Mullen offenses do. He's just raw. And that's why we're not going to see this Joe Burrow-type leap from Kyle Trask this year. It's just not going to happen. Not trying to be naysayer, not trying to say, I told you so. That's just not going to happen. And that's being real and honest. He's going to get a lot of hype. He's already getting that hype. You know, Jed Nagy at the Senior Bowl has already started that hype. Saying, putting him in that category with Joe Burrow, saying, hey, well, where Kyle Trask is right now is where we had Joe Burrow last year. All right, so don't buy it yet. Don't get me wrong. I think Florida is going to probably win the SEC East. I don't think that Georgia – I think they're going to handle business against Georgia. Georgia's got to play them. They got to play Alabama. Georgia's got a tough schedule in the SEC this year. Florida's got Georgia, and they got LSU. All right, so I don't think that Florida's not going to have a good year. Don't get me wrong on any of that. I'm just pointing out that from an evaluation standpoint, Dan Mullen typically maximizes the talent of his quarterbacks. Trask is going to struggle in the league at this point. And it's going to be lack of repetition. I don't know if Trask will ever get a chance in the league. I think he might be able to work out being a backup, at least for a few years. I don't know how long that is, but I'm going to see what he does this year to make my guesstimation on that. Anyways, we are about out of time for today. Thank you for tuning in to the John Vogel Show. Go ahead. You can follow me across pretty much any platform you can think of at John D.A. Vogel, John DeVogel. Definitely check out Parler if you haven't already. Parler's going to take off. It's going to be a pretty big place to be. And we definitely need to get a sports community over on there. So if you want to get involved in that, go find me, John D.A. Vogel. Twitter, obviously. Twitter is sports ultimatum, I guess, at this point, in this point in time. And if you are a Spotify, if you are a Radio Public type person, Google Podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Spread it by word. That's how we spread things. That's how the best things are spread, at least. And if you want to check out any of my work, of course, johnvogel.football or johnvogelfootball.com. It's the place to go. Thank you again for listening. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. I'm sure we'll see if I can't get one put out tomorrow. Just, you know, as like a kind of, I guess, a teaser episode, essentially. Still kind of debating on that. But regardless, be safe. God love y'all.